there is always a thrill, a hope, in seeing your songs used in a different way. And if you're songwriters, you write for an album. Why not? That's what you do. You write songs that will be on an album or a single and will be something you can perform in concert. For people to then come along and say, right, so there was the song that you only thought was going to be on radio and or performed by you in arenas. We're going to take it, we're going to use it. It's not you're not going to sing it, by the way. And by the way, where you thought the verse was is now going to be the chorus, and we're going to use it and throw it up in the air, shatter it, and it's going to come down a mosaic, and it's going to help us tell this other story. Well, you can imagine, that's quite a thing. That's quite, hopefully, quite magical. And they weren't prepared for it. Flat out, they were not prepared for it. And there was a point where we did the very, very first reading of it in a theatre in North London. And the three of them were sitting there, I think slightly presuming, like everybody else at that time was presuming, that if you were going to write a musical about Take That, it would be a biopic. It would be about them and it would be about their lives. And from the first moment when somebody comes on and opens this thing up and it's not you, and it's a woman who's approaching, you know, 40, and she's starting to talk about what it was like not to be on the stage doing that, but to be in the audience doing that, the whole thing shifted. And of course, they just sat there, slightly jaw-dropped, and watched this story unfold, which used their songs. It didn't just, I hope, it didn't just feature their songs. It used them. The great thing is that there's a great sense of humility about them. Here's a band who have had a unique trajectory, that they have had it all, then it all stopped, and then it disappeared, and then suddenly it comes back, but it comes back and it's more than it was the first time. That's a very, very unusual kind of trajectory. And I think what that gives you is a sense of grounding and a sense of, right, guys, we know what this was, we know what it's like to not have it, and aren't we happy to be here? Aren't we just happy to be here? And there's a great sense of being very happy in their own skin. So I think that's why they haven't said, hold on a minute, where's our cameo? I mean, they have said that, but they didn't say, I want to be, you know, in this film, or more, I want this film to be about us. They've always been very happy for it to be about the fans, because the fans deserve a reward because they stuck with them. The story is about five girls, five fantastic, brilliant, dangerous, odd girls who don't get on and are the best of friends, who are blown apart by an event that splits up their friendship group back in 1993, back in when they're 16, and are brought to reconnect because one of them enters a competition on the local radio station to see a reunion tour of the band that they were all massively into when they were that age. And in that time, they've not met. They've not seen what they've become. And suddenly, on this day, they all meet at the airport and rediscover each other and are forced to address why they've not been friends for that intervening period, and suddenly explode into this new friendship. So it's a lot of laying ghosts to rest, but it's a lot of a recovered joy. And it needs them, as women of 40, to slightly listen to and be, in fact, revisited by the versions of themselves at 16 to allow themselves to do this. So it's, in a way, it's a musical time travel. It's about music, and it's about the power of music at one time of your life to absorb everything at that time, your loves, your losses, your quarrels, your disputes, what built you. The band are almost like a dancing Greek chorus. They represent all bands. They represent all music, from thrash metal to disco. These guys are there to say, this is what music means. And if you're 16 and your parents are flying at each other and you need those band members, those songs to comfort you, then one character in our story is able to do that. And Rachel, she's always used the band to come around, and she'll say, come on, boys. And the band will close around her And my abiding central image when I was writing this is of her making breakfast in the morning with this chaos of a family going on around her, but she's got the boys. She's got the boys to protect her. And those boys are what that music meant. But those boys are more important because those boys will actually stop her putting 2 teaspoons of sugar on her Weetabix, because in her head, she knows she shouldn't have 2 teaspoons full of sugar. But actually, they are there. They're like a Greek chorus. They're like a Jiminy Cricket. But they're there to support her. They're an emotional airbag and a safety net. And they're still there. She finds they're still there when she's 40. She still, in some ways, is summoning those boys. So the boys become this magical presence. They become facilitators. They help people fly. They come to their rescue. And all they're doing, really, is saying what Debbie said, which is, we are girls of 16, we are fantastic. And it's just that little reminder, and that's what the boys do. There was a point where they could have said no. Very clearly, they could have said no. And that was in the Tricycle Theatre in Kilburn when we did a reading, a sing-through, with 4 young lads and 9 actors. And at that point, they could have said, you know what? Ultimately, it's their songs, it's their call, it's their legacy of their music. And that was the reading when they just sat there slightly dumbfounded and, you know, tearful and said, wow, you know, this is using the songs in a way that nobody'd expected. And I think slightly they felt, I'm speaking for them here, but you can ask them, but they felt that the musical was a bit of a give back to the fans, because, of course, it's all about the fans, and their fans are quite special and very loyal and have grown up and stayed with them for that amount of time. So there's a lot of freight, there's a lot of blood in the water with the fans, possibly more so than other bands. We found them by our choreographer really knowing what he wanted, and a series of very rigorous auditions. And here is... I always call them the boys, because they are more than just the band. They're not. They are always referred to as the boys in the script. They're always referred to as the boys by the girls, and because that's how close they are. They're part of the family. They're a part of the film, in the same way they're part of those girls' lives. They're always in the background, and fortunately for us, they are fantastic. What I loved, because on the day that I've spent on set, is that they stay as a 5. And that's a really telling thing, is that they go to the canteen as a 5, and they have a cup of tea as a 5, and that's vital, because I think they know that the chemistry between the 5 of them is vital to their presence as a band, because otherwise they're just 5 dancers in the background. And that's not what this show is about. This is about 3 different bands. It's about the band of boys, the band of young girls, and the band of older girls. And they've got to be as tight in their own way as those young girls are tight in theirs. People come away, I hope, from this story really moved, but it's not the tragedy that moves them. It's the hope. It's the optimism. It's the desire to reconnect. We did a little reading of it, and people were coming away telling us, right, that's great, I'm going to go and phone all my old friends. I'm going to get in touch with those guys. But sometimes people, for no real reason and for not good reasons, slightly fall out of touch and fall by the wayside. And I think that desire to reconnect, heightened by the 2 years of this pandemic, means that the movie is suddenly, unexpectedly topical.